This is Alive with Joseph.
Good morning, and I believe that God has a word for us in this season. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm opening up a series this morning that is titled, I Am Not Breaking. I Am Not Breaking. Now, under that series, I'll be running a topic this morning titled Stubborn Faith. Amen. So let's look at Matthew chapter 15. Let's begin building from there. Matthew 15, from verse 26 to 28, I read. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she said, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Amen. As we ease into our conversation this morning, I want us to, you know, have this in our mind. And it is that God has designed you as a believer, you his image, to be pliable and not fragile. That God has designed the believer to be pliable, and that the believer should not be fragile. That is, God has constructed you with the capacity to be able to bend, and also he has given you the potential and the ability to not break. He has given you the potential and the ability to not break. That is, when you study the scriptures very well, you will read through the Bible, you will discover that the word of God, in the word of God, you will see God using words to describe the believer. God using words to describe the believer. He uses words to describe the enduring nature of the believer, the stable nature of the believer, and also the steady nature of the believer. So many words are filled in scriptures on how, you know, the believer has an enduring nature, the believer has a stable nature, and also the believer has a steady nature. And Psalm 92 verse 12 paints a very good picture for us on what God is saying concerning the believer. And it says, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. The righteous flourishes like a palm tree. The righteous grows like a cedar in Lebanon. That is to say, your heavenly Father has created and crafted the palm tree with the capacity to bend and they hardly break. The palm tree hardly breaks. The palm tree will bend, but hardly breaks. And when you look at how the palm tree has been built, you will notice that God created the palm tree with the wind in mind. God knew that the palm tree will be one of the longest trees in the garden. And also as a result of that, the palm tree will be vulnerable to the ferocious winds that comes from time to time. And as a result as well, the palm tree will not have the advantage like other short trees in the garden have when the wind comes. So God, in his infinite wisdom and mercy, made the palm tree to be able to survive the wind. God designed the palm tree to be able to survive the wind. And all through the pages of the Bible, you will see God using the palm tree to describe the believer. So which God is simply saying to you and I that he has designed us, crafted us, for you and I to be able to survive the winds of life. He has built the believer so that the believer can be able to survive the winds of life. So he says to us, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. That is to say, the believer has the ability to live life like the palm tree. A believer has been constructed by God to withstand the winds of life and yet flourish despite the harsh conditions of the wind. The believer has been designed by God to flourish despite the harsh conditions of the wind. That is to say, no matter how harsh the wind blows at the believer, God has put on the inside of you the ability to survive. That is, you know, no matter what comes your way, you will survive. And I declare over you, you will survive in this season in the name of Jesus. You will not just survive, you will thrive in the name of Jesus. I don't know what kind of wind I've been blowing in your life. I don't know the direction it is coming from and the speed at which it is coming with. But one thing I know this morning, God has given you the ability ability to overcome the wind in the name of Jesus. And I declare you will overcome in the name of Jesus. No matter the wind that blows your direction, I prophesy over you this morning, as your amen will come like thunder, you will overcome in the name of Jesus. You will overcome the wind and withstand the wind in the name of Jesus. No matter how hard the wind blows you, you will overcome in the name of Jesus. No matter how long it has been blowing, you will overcome in the name of Jesus. No matter the speed at which the wind is blowing and coming, I decree this morning, overcome in the name of Jesus. I didn't hear your loudest amen. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Thunder, I am an overcomer. God has designed for you to be able to withstand the winds of life. Because sometimes it looks like it's coming from all directions. But one thing I want you to understand is that you can bend but not break. You can bend but not break. Hear me, friends? No devil can break you in this season in the name of Jesus. I say no wind from hell can break you in the name of Jesus. No aggression from the hell, from the pits of hell can break you in the name of Jesus. I decree and I declare the wicked will not break you in the name of Jesus. Their attacks will not break you in the name of Jesus. Their weapon formed against you will not break you in the name of Jesus. You have been built by your heavenly Father to withstand the wind in the name of Jesus. Thunder loud and clear, I am unbreakable. Give Jesus praise if you believe that this morning. Oh yes, you are unbreakable. Ah, no matter what hell sends your direction, it will not break you in the name of Jesus. Now the word wind can be used, or rather when you study the scriptures, it is used as a metaphor for so many things in the Bible. Even in the Bible, the wind is often used to describe the Holy Spirit. When you study the book of Acts of Apostles, when the Holy Spirit came upon the 120 in the upper room, the Bible said that the Holy Spirit came like a mighty rushing wind. So the wind is often used to describe also the Holy Spirit. But for our discussion this morning, let's use the wind as a metaphor for pressure. Let's use the wind as a metaphor for pressure. Let's use it to describe pressure. Now understand that when the wind blows upon anything, one thing the wind does, it puts pressure on that thing. And every one of us in this season, we are dealing with some sort of pressure in one way or another. Our experience of pressure may be different, but one thing I can guarantee and assure everyone here this morning is that everyone is experiencing one pressure or another. Some are experiencing pressure because they are married, while others are experiencing pressure because they are not married. Some are experiencing pressure because they have a job at their workplace, pressure all over the place. Why some are experiencing pressure? Because they are unemployed. Some are experiencing pressure because they own a business. They are experiencing the pressure of keeping the business afloat, making sure that the business turns out profit. Others are experiencing pressure because they don't even own any business. So we all are experiencing pressure in one way or another. Some are experiencing pressure because they have children. Others are experiencing pressure because they do not have children. So we all are in one pressure or another. Everyone on this planet Earth is experiencing pressure in one way or another. But my question to you this morning is, the pressure you are experiencing, is it causing you to bend, or is the pressure you are experiencing breaking you? Is the pressure breaking you or bending you? What is the pressure you experience causing you to do? What is it doing in your life? Because I believe this morning that this series is a prophecy to someone's destiny. That you are right now at a breaking point. And that is why God ordered your steps into the service this morning. That the wind that I've been blowing is blowing so strong on you. You are wondering to yourself, how much more can I take? And the voice of the adversary is already telling you that you can no longer take it anymore. But I came to announce to you this morning, you are not breaking in the name of Jesus. I say you are not going to break in the name of Jesus. No matter how fierce the wind has been blowing you, I decree and I declare you cannot lose in the name of Jesus. Just like the palm tree's root system has been set up to withstand the pressure, your root in Christ Jesus has been set up to withstand the pressure. And I declare no pressure will break you in the name of Jesus. I say no pressure will break you in the name of Jesus. Receive grace, not just to withstand the pressure. Receive grace to overcome the pressure in the name of Jesus. Thunder, I am unbreakable. If you believe it, say amen. Hey, no wind can break you, because your roots in Christ has been designed for you not to be broken by any wind of life. The same way the roots of the palm tree has been designed to carry the palm tree in the midst of the harshness of the wind. Hallelujah. So friends, it is time for you and I to strengthen our roots. You must strengthen your roots so that no matter what is thrown at you, you may bend, but you will never break. You must understand that your roots must be strengthened. And one thing I want you to realize is the power that God has given to you, you know, that power given to you is designed for you not to break. There is a power that is on the inside of you. The Bible said the spirit that raised Jesus is inside of you. The same spirit will quicken, will strengthen your mortal body. No matter what you go through, you are strengthened in the name of Jesus. And I declare this morning that God will empower you to move past your past and move past the breaking point you are in, so that you can experience all things new in this season in the name of Jesus. So when we go back to our text this morning, our text offers us some assistance on how you and I can move past our breaking point. Now understand that what the adversary does very well is this. In order for the adversary to break you, what he does is he breaks whatever is keeping you together. So the way the adversary attacks the believer and breaks the believer is to look for what is keeping the believer. And the way you keep yourself together is by keeping those things that keep you together. Do you know that it is not the palm tree that keeps the palm tree upright? It is the root of the palm tree that keeps the palm tree upright when the wind blows. The root of the palm tree. The root of the palm tree. Not the strong body of the palm tree. It is not even the branches. It is the root of the palm tree. That is what keeps the palm tree steady and standing in the midst of pressure, is what we cannot see with our optic eyes, which is the unique and the deep root system of the palm tree. That is, the root of the palm tree goes deeper than the surface. The root of the palm tree goes deeper than the surface. Without the root of the palm tree cannot survive the harshness of the wind. The palm tree cannot withstand the ferociousness of the wind. It is the root that keeps the palm tree. That is why you and I, our roots in Christ is necessary, because if you do not maintain your roots in Christ, whatever blows at you can easily blow you away. Hallelujah. And the way you keep yourself from breaking down is to keep together what keeps you together. And one of the things that keeps you together is your faith. Our faith. One of the things that keeps us is our faith. And our text there shows us that if we are going to live a life that cannot be easily broken, then you and I must develop stubborn faith. Can I hear you say stubborn faith? Can I hear you say stubborn faith? Look at someone next to you. Announce to them, you better not break. Tell them you better not break. Tell them develop stubborn faith. You know, there are many believers, or there are many people who are depending on you not to break. There are many family members depending on you not to break. The destiny you carry is depending on you not to break. So God wants you to develop stubborn faith so that you do not break. And I declare over you, you will develop it in the name of Jesus. Receive grace to develop stubborn faith in the name of Jesus. Listen, friends, you will not have the desire to develop stubborn faith if you are not faced with what will break you. If you are not faced with what will break you, you will not have the desire to develop stubborn faith. Now, these situations that have the desire to break you forces you to develop faith that cannot be easily broken. And as a believer, every point in your life that you have been broken, can I tell you this? You didn't have to. At every point in your life that you have been broken, you didn't have to. Every believer has faith. And because you have faith, at every point in your life that you were broken, you didn't have to. Why? Because the faith you require to overcome has been put on the inside of you. For this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith.
What overcomes is not outside. What overcomes is on the inside of you. It has been given you at the point of salvation. And I pray for you that in this season, nothing will break you in the name of Jesus. I say you will overcome in the name of Jesus. Thunder, I am unbreakable. Every believer has faith. We have saving faith as believers. And that is, what is that? What is saving faith? It is faith that believes in what Jesus has done, that has also granted us access into having an unhindered relationship with God. We all have saving faith. Every believer has saving faith. If you don't have saving faith, you wouldn't be here this morning. If you don't have saving faith, you wouldn't be born again this morning. We all have saving faith. That is what has given us unhindered access to relationship with God. I've discovered as well, every believer also have surrogate faith, or what we call intercessory faith. What is that? And it is the kind of faith that, you know, that stands on the behalf of another until victory is delivered. Surrogate faith, intercessory faith. It is the kind of faith you'll find in the book of Acts of Apostles chapter 9. When the Christians in Joppa had, you know, they had that kind of faith for Tabitha. When she died, they came to ask Peter to come raise her up. They didn't go to bury her. They had faith that somehow, Tabitha will resurrect. They released their faith. Tabitha was dead, so she couldn't believe for herself. But the believers in Joppa believed on her behalf. She experienced a resurrection. I stand here today. I deploy my faith on your behalf. I prophesy as your amen will come like thunder. Receive a resurrection in the name of Jesus. Your business resurrects in the name of Jesus. Your career resurrects in the name of Jesus. Your marital destiny resurrects in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your highest praise this morning. The believers in Joppa, they deployed their faith. That was why they didn't bury her. They left her, said, "We're not burying you, Tabitha. You go nowhere." I don't know who you are under the sound of my voice. The enemy thought you're dead and buried, and that nothing is coming out of you. I came here this morning wearing the regalia of my calling. I deploy my faith on your behalf. I bring you out of that grave in the name of Jesus. Resurrect in the name of Jesus. Career resurrect in the name of Jesus. Destiny resurrect in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise if you believe it this morning. You go nowhere. Oh, may you know, Shete. The thought is over for you. I came to announce new things for you in the name of Jesus. All things new in the name of Jesus. They stood on our behalf and said, "Tabitha, you're going nowhere." They suspended the program of God, arrested Peter, and said, "Peter, if you don't wake her up, you will go with her." Peter said, "Guys, you're serious." Say, "Wake her up." And Tabitha woke up. I don't know what needs to wake up in your destiny. That business needs to wake up to profit. Your career needs to wake up to progress. Your children needs to wake up to success. Your body needs to wake up to healing. Your marriage needs to wake up to peace. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Surrogate faith. Some of you need to, you know, every morning you need to give God praise because you are where you are today because someone deployed their faith on your behalf. Some of you are a product of intercessory faith. You will have been dead long and dead and buried long ago. But someone stood in on the behalf of you. Probably some of you, your mother, who got born again long ago, who have been praying for your deliverance and for your salvation. Surrogate faith. Surrogate faith. And if you're honest enough, you will know you are here today because someone surrogate faith. Someone believed on your behalf, and their belief delivered your victory. You will continue to enjoy that victory in the name of Jesus. Amen. Then we have what we call stubborn faith, which is resilient faith. This is the kind of faith that most believers have not yet developed. It is faith that faces the battle and still believes. It is faith that when it is confronted with the vicissitudes of life, it still believes. The faith still believes. Listen, friends, I've discovered in my little years of being a believer and pastoring, too many Christians have fragile faith. Too many Christians have fragile faith. What is fragile faith? Fragile faith breaks when the wind of life blows. Fragile faith is the faith that believers have when the going is good. They keep believing. When the going, fragile faith only believes when the going is good. Fragile faith. He believes until the wind blows. When the wind of life blows, fragile faith stop believing. And there are many believers in that category. They only believe when things are good. Ah, God is good, God is good, God is good. Profits are coming in business. You know, salaries are paid on time. Increase, 2% increase. They are dancing all over the place. But let the wind of life blow. They fall apart. Fragile faith. Fragile faith. But resilient faith is the faith that believes and keeps on believing, even in the midst of the contrary wind. Fragile faith. Now, fragile faith believes restoration is possible until restoration is delayed. Fragile faith believes that victory is possible, until victory looks like it's a mirage. Fragile faith believes until it is confronted, and by that confrontation, it breaks. There are many who keep believing until they are confronted. My friend, your faith should be able to withstand demonic confrontation. Because this is the victory that we have. Even our faith. Hallelujah. Fragile faith. Fragile faith believes until it is confronted. And by the confrontation, it breaks. But resilient faith keeps on believing. Even in the midst of the contrary wind. So our text this morning is about, you know, a woman who had stubborn faith. She kept on believing, even when the odds were stacked against her. So our text shows us that Jesus was on a journey. We begin to read from verse 21. Jesus was in a journey, and during the course of his journey, something happened. So let's pick up the event. The Bible said, and Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. He went out to enter into Tyre and Sidon. He came out of Galilee. Where he was coming out from was Galilee. He was coming out of Galilee to enter. So he tells us that Jesus, this text tells us that Jesus, you know, went out of there to enter into another region. So it shows us, friends, that you and I cannot enter into something new until we exit the old. The challenge is many wants to be in new and yet they want to be in the old all at the same time. Remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old, because I'm doing a new thing. You cannot experience all things new if you don't exit the old. Exit from the old guarantees you access to the new. Hallelujah. So some people cannot walk into all things new until they leave the old. What are the old you're still holding on to that you must leave? What are the old you're still staying in that you must walk away from? If Jesus had not exited Galilee, he wouldn't have entered into Tyre and Sidon. Many of you need to exit Galilee. It is time for you to enter into the new. And I pray for you this morning. Whatever is tying you down to the old, I break it in the name of Jesus. I say, I break it in the name of Jesus. Whatever has tied you to the old, I break it in the name of Jesus. Thunder, I exit the old. I enter the new. Give Jesus praise if you believe that this morning. So the Bible said that Jesus went out there. This shows us also the power of exiting a season and not overstaying a season. I perceive in my spirit there are many of you who you have overstayed in the season in which you are in. But this morning, I came with Holy Ghost fire. I came with radical and heaven brutality. I bring you out of that season in the name of Jesus. You will no longer stay in the season that you have expired in the name of Jesus. The season that has expired, I prophesy, come out of it in the name of Jesus. He left me. He promised me. My friend, gather yourself together. It is time to move forward in the name of Jesus. God came to Samuel and said to Samuel, for how long will you continue to mourn for Saul? Fill your horn with oil. There is a David waiting for you. Enough of crying for Saul. It is time to embrace your new beginning. Receive it in the name of Jesus. He left you. He didn't leave you and didn't leave you. Leave you, my friend. He left. Let him left. Hallelujah. Jesus left the old because the new is calling his name. How many believe the new is calling their name? Now go ahead and give Jesus praise this morning. Hey! Jesus leaves Galilee because he had just finished engaging. That was why, let me tell you the reason why he left Galilee. He left Galilee because he had finished engaging with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. All the seas who never want to see. So he left them because these are men or teachers of the law who had questions they were not looking for an answer to. Rather, they were asking those questions because they were desiring or they were interested in an argument. So there are some people in life, they don't want answers. They only want argument. That's why if you come to my page and you write anything, I block you. I don't have time for argument. Oh. You don't have to agree with what I've written. It's not your page. It's not your airtime. It's not your phone. You want to come and start writing big story? Your revelation. Ah, I wrote it so simple because I wasn't asking for revelation. You either say amen and go. You don't want to say amen. You want to bring your own revelation. My friend, you are subscribing to be blocked. And I block you with joy. And in fact, I buy Coke and I drink. Even though I don't drink Coke. Because there are people in life, they are only looking for arguments. They are not looking for answers. And Jesus walked away from these men. They were looking for argument. They were asking questions. They were not interested in the answers. They were only interested in arguments. And some people don't want help. They only want attention. So Jesus left them because he knew that his time was too short. He was not going to waste his huge investment on people who want debate instead of development. So he refused to waste his time. Hear this, friends. Listen to me carefully as your pastor. You do not owe anyone attention that does not genuinely desire your assistance. You don't owe them any attention. Jesus had to leave there because he knew that they were not genuinely looking for his assistance. So when Jesus left them, he went into Tyre and Sidon. Let's pay attention to this city that Jesus went into. Tyre and Sidon. I believe it's very important because if you understand this, it will help you grasp what I'll be saying in the next few minutes. Tyre and Sidon were known for their wealth. They were cities known for their wealth. They were known for trade and they were known for their maritime prowess. But also, they were known for other two things. They were known for idolatry and pride. They were a major trade center. We're talking about like what are the major trade centers in our world? Let's say like Cape Town, like Johannesburg, like Durban. They were major trade centers. They were major trade centers. And, you know, when Solomon was building the Solomon's Temple, King Hiram of Tyre, these guys were so rich that they didn't just provide material for Solomon to build the temple. They also provided craftsmen that enabled Solomon to build the Solomon's Temple. That was how much these guys were wealthy. That was how much they had. They were not just wealthy in terms of material resources. They had the brain. They had the mind. They provided craftsmen for the construction of Solomon's Temple. Now, their idolatry and pride was so strong that prophets Isaiah and Ezekiel actually condemned Tyre and Sidon for their idolatry and pride if they were foretelling their downfall. Now, this was the city that Jesus went into and he made a kind of statement he made to the woman he met there. In our text, the woman's daughter, the Bible said, was suffering terribly, according to the NIV translation. Her daughter was suffering terribly. Can we put it this way? Her daughter is a human being. Human represents life, isn't it? So can we replace the daughter for life? Can we use the daughter as a metaphor for life? So can we put it this way, that this woman, can we safely say, her life was suffering terribly. This woman, her life was suffering terribly. This woman's life was confronted with some terrible winds. This same suffering woman comes to Jesus, tells Jesus, "Can you help me?" Jesus' response should have anchored this woman who came from a territory known for pride and idolatry. She could have felt so proud and said, "Who are you? Do you know who I am? Do you know who I am?" But this woman didn't allow her pride get in the way. She humbled herself. Listen, friends, there are some help in life that you can only get through the gate of humility. Now, many of you right now, the help you're looking for, you're going to have to pass through the gate of humility. You will have to humble yourself. You will have to humble yourself. You see all these things, you're throwing yourself all over the place. You will have to humble yourself. Because the help you're looking for is through the gate of humility. Give Jesus praise this morning. So this same Jesus, Michael, please come. This same Jesus. This woman asks this same Jesus, who is an epitome of love, to help her. This Jesus, who is love in human flesh. This Jesus, who fed 5,000 men with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. This woman was asking him for help. This Jesus, who came to the defense of a woman who was being stoned by the teachers of law, and he delivered the woman. This same Jesus, who the Bible says anywhere he goes, he was doing good. This same Jesus looks at this woman whose daughter is suffering terribly, who came asking for help, and this Jesus kept quiet. The Bible said Jesus was passing. Michael, keep talking to me.
Pastor Joseph.
Help me.
Pastor Joseph, help.
And Jesus was silent. Michael was the woman. I'm Jesus. Asking for help. He was silent. Can you imagine that if it was a modern day woman, lady, with her Brazilian hair, her French nails, her red bottom shoe, her LV dress, her lipstick, asking for help? Facebook will hear how that pastor is so insensitive. That church, they are wicked. You go there, they are wicked. Jesus was silent. The woman was screaming, help me, help me. So look at it. Jesus' first response to this woman's request was silent. Hear me, friends. Learning from this woman's life, someone with a fragile faith will have left. So this is the first thing I want us to learn from this woman's life. Stubborn faith survives the silent season. Thank you so much, Michael. Thank you. Stubborn faith survives the silent season. Stubborn faith. This woman survived the silence of Jesus. She had a mindset that said, Lord, even though you're not speaking yet, I have resolved. I go nowhere. We die here. I go nowhere. She said, I will wait till my change comes. I'm not going to go look for alternative means. I will wait because I know at some point you're going to give me an answer. But before then, I wait. Can you wait when God is not saying anything? Can your faith survive the silence of God? Can your faith survive when God is not saying anything? You've prayed all kinds of prayer. You have fasted. You have given. You have tithed. You have done all kinds of things. And no one, can you still wait? Can your faith survive the silent season? Can your faith survive it? This woman's stubborn faith survived the silent season. Listen, friends, if you and I are going to live a life that is not easily broken, we will have to learn how to survive seasons when we are suffering and God is silent towards our suffering. Because often, as believers, we expect God to be speaking when we are going through things. I don't know where we got that theology from. But in line with scriptures, most times, when you're going through things, God is not saying anything. Is it that he's not working? He's working. But he doesn't have to tell you what he's doing. For 430 years, they were suffering. God didn't come to them. The Bible said they were crying. God didn't come to them. He went to Moses. Can you survive the seasons where it looks like God is not saying anything? In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul talked about how he sought the Lord 3 times concerning an issue. And God only responded to him on the 3rd time. Now imagine if at the 1st time, when God didn't say anything, the Apostle Paul left. Or the 2nd time, he left. He wouldn't have received You know, but the only reason why the Apostle Paul got an answer was because he has stubborn faith to survive the silent season. Can your faith, I ask you again, can your faith survive the silent season? Do you know that in a classroom, we all should know that by now, but in case you don't know, in a classroom, teachers are always silent during a text or an exam, isn't it? The best they do is to walk past you, look into what you're writing, and smile. When they shake their head like this, my friend, you better stop writing. They just pass and look and shake their head. And, hey, some of you. That's an indication, my friend. F9 is waiting for you. Hallelujah. And the three Hebrew boys said to the king, our God is able. God was silent to them. But they said, our God is able to deliver. But again, if he doesn't, we still will not bow to your image. So this was what they were simply saying. God, he is able. He will. But if not, then so be it. So be it. We are not going to bow. We are not going to bow to your image. I know he is able. I am confident, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in me, he is able to complete what he has started. I am so confident that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all I could ever ask or think of. But again, if he chooses not to do, so be it. I can survive the silent season of God. So they said to the king, sometimes I am confident that he will. But again, I'm not to diminish him, because sometimes God acts in ways that I cannot predict. So God is able. I also know that he will. But again, he might surprise me and not show up. But one thing is clear. I am not committed to convenience. I am committed to God. I'm committed to God. Even if I have to suffer, I will not bow. And the fact that this boy said God is able and God will, I concluded, it may be that they prayed and God said nothing. But they didn't know that God answered them without an announcement. May he answer you this year without an announcement. I say, may God answer you without an announcement. May God answer you without a prophecy. May God answer you without a vision. May God answer you without a dream. In the name of Jesus. God went into the fire, was waiting for them. He didn't prophesy to them. Hey, Uri, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. I'm coming. No. He kept quiet. But he who has promised can never fail. He was in the fire, waiting for them. Turning the fire into an air-conditioned system. When they arrived there, the answer was waiting. He didn't give them an answer. He himself was the answer. The God of heaven is your answer in the name of Jesus. I said, the God of heaven is your answer in the name of Jesus. He was waiting inside. The king said, I see the fourth man. He didn't send a prophecy for answer. The challenge, most of you are looking for prophecy for answer. My friend, do you need a prophecy or do you need answer? Which one do you want? I want answer. So I don't need anybody to see a vision, to see a dream, to prophesy. No. The God of heaven answers without announcement. That will be your testimony in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise this morning. So there are some requests, God answers without announcement. And just because God is not speaking, friends, it doesn't mean he's not working. Hear me, friends. Because God is not speaking doesn't mean he's not working. If God doesn't speak, it just means he's going to show up anyway. He said nothing to the three Hebrew boys, but he was there. And I don't know who I'm talking to this morning. You've been feeling like God is silent. You feel like God is not interested in your suffering. I came to tell you this morning, just because God is not saying anything doesn't mean he will not show up. And I declare over you this month of August, I prophesy God will answer you without an announcement in the name of Jesus. He will show up for you in the name of Jesus. He will not just show up. He will make all things new for you in the name of Jesus. Hey, your father will show up without no forewarning in the name of Jesus. He will show up with no prophecy in the name of Jesus. He will show up for you with no vision, with no dreams in the name of Jesus. Hey, he will answer you. And what is the next thing we can learn from this woman? Jesus is silent. Quickly, Jesus is silent. And she keeps talking to the point where, you know, Jesus' disciples becomes impatient and irritated. They said to Jesus, send her away. Tell her to leave. I believe they have tried to send her away. She refused. So they felt that, let's speak to Jesus, who has a greater authority. Jesus, tell her to go. We have been trying to tell her to go. She's disturbing us. And they said to Jesus, send her away. Tell her to leave. I believe the disciples could say that because they don't have a suffering child. They are not in her shoes. Hear me, friends. And this is for every one of us this morning. We have followers of Christ who are insensitive to the sufferings of other people. Just simply because their suffering doesn't directly affect them. And that's the assumption many believers make. That since I'm not the one contributing to your affliction, I'm not the one causing your suffering. So we erroneously assume that it really doesn't concern us. So they said to Jesus, send her away. She's disturbing our nice life. Send her away. Send her away. Are they the only ones? Every time marriage problem. Jesus, send her away. Is she the only one? Send her away. She could have been offended by the insensitive attitude of Jesus' disciples. She could have been offended. Remember, don't forget, this woman came from a territory of proud and idolatrous foundation. Pride could have kicked in. Say, all of you, I can feed all of you. I'll put you in my house and pay your salary. Rubbish. And go. But she didn't. She refused to be offended. The second thing you find in the life of this woman, stubborn faith. Stubborn faith overcomes offense. Stubborn faith is the faith that survives when God does not act in the way you want him to act. It is faith that stays put when God doesn't show up the way you thought he should show up. You are not offended. You stay put. The disciples were insensitive to her plight. When Jesus finally decided to talk to her, this also could have created another offense. When Jesus finally decided to say something, Jesus said, I'm only sent to the lost sheep of Israel. That is to say, Jesus was simply saying to her, right now, I have other priorities and you're not one of them. Yet she was not still offended. This woman had faith that survived offense. Her faith survived offense. And because her faith survived offense, she accelerated her answer. She suspended protocols and brought forward the agenda of God to deliver her from her trouble. Listen, friends, it may not be your time yet, but God will show up for you early this year in the name of Jesus. I say he will show up early for you in this season in the name of Jesus. If your faith can survive offense, I declare the Almighty God will show up early for you in the name of Jesus. Her faith survived offense. This woman's faith survived offense. There are some people who are not offended at anyone, but they're offended at God. Because God didn't answer them when they wanted him to answer. Or he didn't give them the testimony they wanted. So as it is right now, they are still coming to church. They still log in morning prayers. But deep in their heart, they are offended. They are angry at God. It's just that they cannot go to a shrine. So they come to church. If they have an option, it's just because they were brought up in Christian home. They say, no, my mother didn't do this. Let me not do it. But they had option, they will have gone to the devil. And not because they are seeking an answer, but because they are offended at God. Jesus looked at this woman. Another thing that could have offended her. Jesus looked at this woman and tells her, it is not fitting to take the children's bread and give it to dogs. Me, a dog? Inasmuch as that was not a condescending statement, it is a terminology used in the time of Jesus to describe Gentiles. But Jesus called her. He not just said little dogs. Like Bingo. Like Bingo. Come on. Little dogs. You know those small dogs. Jesus didn't even call her a pit bull. Or a German shepherd. Jesus called her a chihuahua. Little dog. So this woman's face survives silence, survives insensitive disciples who were offensive. Now Jesus is using spiritual semantics to justify his inactivity towards her.
And this woman didn't walk away. And Jesus tells us this in Matthew 11:6. Blessed is he, whoever shall not be offended in me. Can I ask you this morning, are you offended in God? And you that is online watching, are you offended in God? Did you pray about something and it didn't happen? And right now you're offended. You still come to church, but deep in your soul, you're offended at God. And let me show you, this brings us to number three quickly. I'll just run through this. After Jesus said, I can't give the bread men for the children to dogs. Look at what she said. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of Israel. I'm reading from verse 24 to 27. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered again and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to little dogs. And she said, yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. The next thing you can learn from this woman's faith, her stubborn faith, has an attitude and a posture of worship. She knelt and worshipped even when Jesus said no. Jesus said, I was not sent except the lordship of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him. Can you still worship when God is not answering? Can you still worship? I'm asking you, my friend, can you still worship? She knelt. She worshipped. That posture compels an answer. And this is what makes this woman's worship authentic. She worshipped after Jesus has said no to her. That even though Jesus said no, she was still saying, I'm not going to do anything. Even Jesus, when Jesus said no, I'm not going to do anything, this woman still worshipped anyway. This is the kind of worship that moves the heart of God. Genuine worship. Genuine worship is not because of what God has done. Genuine worship is not because God answered my prayers. Genuine worship is not because I received the car I prayed for. Genuine worship is not because I submitted my CV and I got the job. Genuine worship is not because now I have marriage proposal. I'm about to call a Mrs. something something. No, no, no. Genuine worship is a worship that flows from the depths of my heart, understanding that whether he does it or not, he is still God, and God deserves to be worshipped. Genuine worship is a worship that flows from you after you have received the answer no. And I think you find the life of this woman, even when Jesus said, you don't throw things to little dogs, she didn't argue with Jesus. Instead, she said, even the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Number four, stubborn faith has no sense of entitlement. She didn't argue whether or not she deserved it. Some will have told God, but God, I'm a tither. And so what? And God, I just tithed yesterday. And this is happening today. When? You tithed yesterday, and it's happening today. That's a sense of entitlement. She didn't argue whether or not she deserved it. She recognized that, how dare I talk about what I deserve to the immortal God? Stubborn faith will arrest entitlement. Child of God, I want to encourage you in this season, arrest entitlement. There's nothing that God does for us that we are entitled to. Everything that God does for us is out of his goodness. Of his goodness have we received. What we receive from God is not tied to our goodness. It is tied to God's goodness. So listen, friends, your belief is tied to your behavior. So you don't believe God because he has been good to you. You believe God because you believe God because he will be good to you. Not because he has been good to you. You believe God because he will be good to you. And if you don't understand this, you will have a weak faith. Every time you go through a challenging season, you will break. And the last one. Understand that your faith exists to accomplish his will and not to alter it. So even though that Jesus said, I'm sent to the lost sheep of Israel, Jesus still made an exception. Stubborn faith expects to be exempted. Jesus didn't alter his will, which was his assignment to the lost sheep of Israel,
But Jesus said, right now, let's make an exemption. Let's bypass protocols. Let's find a way to walk around it. Now, you cannot look at, listen carefully on this. You cannot look at what happened to everybody else and conclude that is the benchmark of what will happen to you. Because it didn't happen for them. You shouldn't say, well, it didn't happen for Brother Joseph. It didn't happen for Sister Cordelia. It didn't happen for Sister Daniel. It cannot happen. No. I am an exception. Thunder, I am an exception. So I cannot look at what happened to you or didn't happen. No. That have always been my mindset towards my relationship with God. Because it didn't happen for you doesn't mean it will not happen for me. No. Oh, they say in that place, things doesn't work. When we went to, when the church was by corner essential, one of the sisters who was with us then said, in this place, nothing happens. Even we started our business here, it died. I said, that's your business that died. Listen, when it comes to talk of faith, I'm brutal. I said, that's your business that died. Because your business died doesn't mean a life church will not survive here. No. In fact, out of this place, we will grow so big, the place will be too small for us. And it happened exactly as we said it. We grew too big for the place. We had to look for another place. You are an exception. Thunder again, I am an exception. Rise on your feet. Thunder, I am an exception. Thunder, I am an exception. So friends, what happens to everyone does not dictate and determine what can happen to you. God can do it for you. And I don't know about everybody else, but one thing I know, I am an exception. I don't know about you, but me, I am an exception. And that will be your testimony in the name of Jesus. I say you are an exception in the name of Jesus. So stubborn faith says, I don't know how many people it has not happened for, but for me, I know it will happen for me. Not because I'm good, not because I deserve it, not because I'm entitled to it, but because God is good. And according to his sovereignty, he will always make exception and exemptions for me. Give him praise this morning. Let me stop there. As you rise on your feet, the only way the enemy can break you or break your life is by breaking your faith. And the way you keep your life together is by keeping your faith together. Some of you needed to hear this. Listen, if you don't get intentional about developing your faith, you are going to break. So be intentional about developing your faith. And how do you develop part of developing your faith? Scriptures, fellowship of the believer, prayers. You must be intentional. How have I survived breaking season as a pastor? Because I've had to develop my faith. When nothing was happening, when things were difficult, when things looked like it will never work, we kept developing our faith. If you don't develop your faith, you will break. I'm not going to turn and tell you that things are going to get better. No. But you need to get stronger. 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 Every day you need to get stronger. Every day you need to get stronger. When the enemy come at you, you're strong. Let the enemy meet you strong. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Let's celebrate the Lord as we go home. Father, we thank you this morning. We give you praise.
Thank you so much for listening. We believe you were blessed by the word. For more, please visit our website, www.alivewithjoseph.com. as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, Alive with Joseph Mokocha. Till next time, God bless.